Brooklands Radio presents Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. We'll be covering subjects relating to business, the challenges facing businesses in the area, as well as new opportunities and innovations. And if you'd like to join in, email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk with any comments or questions for our guests. On today's show, we have Tanya Grant from Guildford Speakers and Victoria Gravensteed from The Grape Outdoors. But to start with, I'd like to welcome our first guest to the studio, Ruth Lambert, Economic Development Officer from Spelthorne Borough Council. Hello, Ruth. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
When did you actually join the council?
Nearly a year ago, last August. Uh-huh. And it wasn't quite so hot last year.
Hard to remember. And what were you doing before then? What was your what sort of jobs did you have before joining the council?
Well, I think the council recruited me because of my business experience. So I've run a couple of businesses myself, including a farm shop over at the Medicine Garden in Cobham. And I also work for Business Link as a business advisor. So I've been out and seen lots of local businesses, which is what they were looking for in my role.
And when did you started your career? What role were you playing then?
I started as a pub area manager, actually. So I'd worked as a barmaid as a student and done a German degree, preferred working in the pubs to doing the German, thought, what can I do with that? And ended up working for Grand Met Pubs and then on to Thresher with wine shops as an area manager for them as well.
And what journey took you from the wine shops to Business Link?
Quite a long and winding one. I went via Heathrow, looking after all the shops in Terminal 1 there, and then moved to the States for a bit with my husband's job, and had two kids and did a master's in business administration just to keep me out of trouble because I couldn't work. And then when I came back, I wanted to go back into work part-time, and Business Link were recruiting for business advisors. And I think, you know, they liked my varied background and the fact that I got an MBA that sort of helped me when I went out and saw local businesses.
And was that a strange feeling to suddenly be on the other side of it, as it were, giving advice rather than actually being running a business yourself?
It was, but I think it was a definite benefit, because I think the downside of running your own business is quite often it's very lonely. A lot of people run businesses from home and don't have anyone to talk to, or if they talk to their family about it, they quite often get a bit fed up with hearing just about the business. So to have someone independent come in and be able to listen to them, point them in the direction of some support, and then be sort of an ongoing person they can ring up, I think that's a really valuable service to offer. So I really enjoyed working at Business Link.
So now you're at the council. Yes. So can you tell us about your new role?
Yes, it's a very varied role. Spelthorne's quite a small council. We cover quite a small area, but we've got loads of stuff going on. So I joined last summer, as I said, and I've been given lots of really exciting projects. So I am organising a brand new business awards scheme. I'm working on a project to open a business incubator space in the borough, and what I'm here to talk about today is the skills fair that we're working with Jobs Centre Plus and our social housing provider, A2 Dominion, our Sure Start Centre, Surrey Chambers and our business forum to organise a big skills fair at Kempton Park in September.
Yes, and this is the first one, isn't it?
It's the second one.
Oh,
we had
second?
One. Yes. So, well, in fact, it's been going for a few years on a smaller scale. So Kennington Manor Sure Start Centre started it off. And it's sort of grown and grown because it's been so popular over the years. We got involved as a council last year for the first one at Kempton Park, who very kindly supported us with a sort of a reduced rate on their premier suite. And this year we've gone for bigger space because we anticipate we're going to have even more stalls. So it's a mix of local businesses and local skills providers, local colleges, and they can all have a free stall on the day. It's the 19th of September. And then it's free tickets for anyone who would like to come along. So we've got four or five local schools sending students along so that they can open their eyes to the wealth of opportunities available locally in employment. And then we're also trying to attract lots of adult job seekers or people who currently got jobs but are looking for a change of job. So there should be something for everybody. There'll be lots of stalls, lots of interactive activities and some free workshops on the day as well.
Right, and it's called the Spelthorne Skills and Careers Fair.
That's right.
So how can small businesses get involved?
They can go to the council website and look up the skills fair and they will get the link to apply for a stall. So it's an online form. You just fill out information about your business so that I can put you in the brochure and see what your needs will be on the day. I'll then drop you an email and we'll sort it out from there. But the skills fair runs from midday until 7 o'clock in the evening so that we can get the schools along in the afternoon and adults as well, of course. But then it's free for people to come after work and into the evening. We were very keen that it would be accessible to people for that.
So the idea then is for people to get new talent, in other words, is that the idea?
Yes, so the levels of unemployment are very low in our area. So
that's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is wonderful, yes. But not if you're someone looking to recruit. Sure. So events like this really help local businesses to find people that are currently out of work or to maybe attract people into a new role. So that's the essence of it. And then, as I say, we also want to get the students along so that when they're taking their options, St Paul's Catholic College, for example, are sending all their year eights along because that's the year that they take their options. And the idea is that they can see what's going on, what's available, and, you know, make a more informed decision.
Indeed. What age are they at year eight?
They are, now you're asking, so that's the second year of secondary school.
So,
that's
13, 14?
Yeah.
Before they do the GCSEs then, presumably.
Yes, so they're just taking their options for their GCSEs.
Ah, I see.
And that's quite early, but schools seem to be getting the children to decide earlier and earlier. So we were trying to open it up to any Year 8 student. So even if you're not based in Spelthorne, if you're nearby Kempton Park, we'd love to have your kids come along. We'd love you to come along and find out about job opportunities. And if, as you say, if you're a business, we'd love you to have one of our stands and have a presence there. And apart from obviously finding new recruits, there's also the opportunity to network with the other businesses that are there. So we had 63 stands last year, and we had a social area where stallholders could network with each other, and that worked really well. So a lot of really interesting contacts were made.
And how many stands are you hoping for this year?
Well, we started booking them up quite late last year, so there weren't many when I joined in August, and so it was mainly August and September that people booked, and we had 63, and so far we've got 52 confirmed.
Well, that's very good
months
news,
ago,
yes.
So I'm really confident that we're going to have more than that this year.
Okay, and you mentioned some interactive activities. What are they exactly?
Yes, so we encourage all the stallholders to have interactive things, but one thing that I'm very interested about is we've got Surrey Libraries coming, and they've got a makerspace initiative that they run over in Guildford that we've been trying to tempt them to bring over into our borough, which is all about digital skills and being coding and supporting people to develop their computing skills. So they're going to come along and do some interactive activities around STEM for the people that are attending. So that should be really good fun.
And what else? Are there going to be any talks for businesses at all? Or?
Not necessarily for businesses, but maybe by businesses. Uh-huh. So we have for all the stallholders, we have some talks before the show kicks off. So we've got a talk with the Job Centre doing a talk on universal credit. We've the show's being opened by Kwasi Kwarteng, who's our local MP. We have a gentleman from the BBC who's head of accessibility at the BBC. So he came last year and was great. He's coming back again this year to talk about how the BBC is making themselves accessible for their employees, and we hope that'll rub off on other people. And then we also have a lady called Julie from We're Training who's talking about the apprenticeship levy. So that's for the stallholders, and then we'll be running workshops throughout the day on things like interview skills, CV writing. And the students are going to be attending those, but there'll also be some available for adults who come along too.
Well, that sounds incredible. It sounds a really, really great event. Lots going on. And what sectors do you think are having problems with recruitment?
Well, I think a lot of sectors, actually. It's different, really. So the people that we speak to, there's a big problem with local restaurants and shops finding people who want to work for them. And they're quite well represented at the Skills Fair. But then there's a different challenge as well. So we talk to quite a lot of the bigger businesses in the borough. And, you know, a lot of them don't have a problem attracting employees, but a lot of their employees aren't based locally. So we're really keen to highlight to them the talent that we do have locally and try and persuade them to recruit more local staff rather than bringing people in who are coming in, you know, by bus and train and car every day into the borough.
Yes, that sounds a very good idea. Right. Well, that sounds very exciting. Well, moving on now, I gather that you've launched the Spelthorne Business Awards. These are the first ever ones, aren't they?
They are, yes. So a couple of years ago, the council changed its logo to have means. So Spelthorne means business now, sort of means business underneath the logo. And economic development is a key priority for the borough. So on the back of that, we really felt we should have our own business awards. We'd noticed through sponsoring some sort of Surrey-wide business awards that Spelthorne businesses weren't necessarily entering as much as we would like to. So one of my first projects, again, when I joined, was to set this up and run it, because I'd run events in the past. So we've been lucky enough to get seven local businesses, quite big businesses, to sponsor the awards. So we've got Shepperton Studios, who are sponsoring the creative business of the year.
And isn't the award ceremony going to be held there as well?
Yes, it is. So on the 11th of October, they're donating us their orangery, and we're going to have a gala award dinner with a two-course two-course dinner, and all the finalists will be invited to come to the event, and that's when we'll be announcing the winners. So we've also got Heathrow sponsoring an award. We've got TW Magazines, our Staines upon Thames Business Improvement District, the Spelthorne Business Forum, and A2 Dominion. And then the council are going to award the best company in Spelthorne, the overall winner. So the closing date is the end of August. And again, if you go to the council website and search for Business Awards or Spelthorne Means Business Awards, you can find the online entry form for that. And it's really simple. I know a lot of business awards have very complex
entry. Yes, you have to do things. Like documents.
Yes. We just have three questions. You know, why are you great? Why are you better than your competition? Why should you win?
Yes. Are there any tips you might like to give possible entrants into completing their form in a good way?
I would say make it really tangible so that we can really see, you know, don't waffle. Give us really good examples. A lot of people have uploaded testimonials from their customers or
that's a good idea, isn't
it? Brochures that they've produced or other things that they've done. Just so that the judges, because each of the sponsors are judging their own category, and, you know, they need to really see what's great about your business, because they won't necessarily know you. So we'd really encourage any business based in Spelthorne to enter that.
And is it free to enter?
It's free to enter. We're charging £25 a ticket for the awards evening, which I think is quite reasonable for a two-course dinner with entertainment. And we're able to do that because Shepperton Studios are supporting us, and because we've got the sponsorship from the businesses for the awards. So a big thing for us was that it wouldn't be prohibitive for any business locally that might want to enter. And it's just a great way. It's a great thing for your business marketing. And it's also a great way to say thank you to your staff and to say, I think you're doing a really great job and I think we could win this award. So it's, you know, and again, it's a great networking opportunity. So, you know, you're raising your profile with the bigger businesses that are sponsoring the awards. And at the awards evening, you've got a great opportunity to network with the other businesses that are there. So you haven't really got anything to lose, I don't think. I would encourage anybody to enter.
Well, they sound very exciting. What would you think the benefits are for small businesses winning awards?
Well, you're able to then put, so we'll be sending out a logo that you can put on your website and your email signatures saying that you were shortlisted or you're a winner of the award, which immediately gives you credibility with potential customers. As I say, it's a great boost for staff morale. We mentioned earlier about how difficult it is in our area to find staff. Well, if you're an award-winning company, then that will make people think that you're a great place to work as well. So I think there's loads of benefits in entering.
Absolutely, yes. And so it can sound as though you're really, really busy, but are there any other ways that the council is helping small businesses in the area?
Yes, there are. There's a couple of ways, actually. So we pay for an online business advice service that you can access, again, through the Spelthorne Council website. We've partnered with My Incubator Ventures. So they have live chat with a business advisor, and they have lots of documents where you can download. You can upload your business plan and get feedback on it. And that's all free to anyone who's resident in the borough. So you can go on the website and do that. And the other project we're working on at the moment is launching some business incubator space in the borough as well. So that will be very affordable, hot desking environment, but not just sort of cheap desks, we're very keen that it will be business support as well. So anybody who becomes part of the community will get business support, access to mentoring and business advice. And we're hoping to partner with an initiative that Royal Holloway are doing, and also with the Set Squared Accelerator over at Surrey University, to really give great support to the businesses that get involved in our incubated community. So we're really excited about that.
Yes, when do you expect that to be?
I knew you were going to ask me that. We're just finalising where we're going to base it at the moment,
sure.
But we're aiming for spring next year.
Right, and who would be eligible to use it?
So you don't have to live in the borough. You just need to run a business in the borough. So anybody that has an exciting or growing business idea. We're particularly targeting sort of high-tech creative businesses, because they're the sort of businesses that Royal Holloway and Set Squared are looking to work with. But we will have things on offer for any type of business in the borough. So what I would say is, you know, keep an eye on the council website and contact me. Look up the business awards or the skill fair, and you'll get my email address. And you can email me, and if you're interested in finding out more about the incubator, and I'll send you some details.
Okay, that sounds great. Is that a free thing, or will they pay for the incubator space? Presumably they will.
Yeah, they will have to pay for it, but it will be a lot cheaper than any serviced office space locally. So we're committed that it will be, you know, very competitively priced, because again, we appreciate that when you're in a startup business, you know, you don't have a lot of money. So but obviously we do need to cover some of our running costs.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for coming in and telling us all about that. It all sounds very exciting. You're very, very busy, I can tell. And would you like to give us your website details for people to get more information?
Yes, it's spellthorn.gov.uk is the council website, and
you've got /SSCF,
that's for the careers fair, and /SMBA for the business awards.
That's it. Okay, thank you very much, Ruth, for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. That was Ruth Lambert from Spellthorn Borough Council. And the next part of our show, we're going to be talking to Tanya Grant from Guildford Speakers.
You're listening to Surrey Business Affairs on Brooklyn's Radio, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
Hair Mechanics is Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group, with two superior salons, one in the heart of West Byfleet and the second in the Bourne Valley Garden Centre of Addlesden. Hair Mechanics offers hairstyling and finishing, beauty and holistic therapies, nail treatments, tanning and electrolysis. For our office promotions, contact information and more, please see our website, hairmechanics.co.uk, or call 01932 350 877. Hair Mechanics, Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group.
If you're passing Walton Community Hospital or near the halfway in Walton, then pop into the hospital coffee shop run by the League of Friends. Enjoy a nice cup of tea for only 60p or a delicious cup of coffee for only 70p. Plus a range of sweets, biscuits, soft drinks, crisps, cards and sundries. We're all volunteers, so we can keep the prices low. That's a coffee shop at Walton Community Hospital in Rodney Road, Walton. Open from 10am to 4pm weekdays and from 2pm to 4pm on Saturdays.
Brooklyn's Radio have teamed up with the Nomad Theatre Group to bring you Surrey Showcase, a new one-day performance festival coming this August, and we are on the lookout for the best talents that our local area has to offer. You could get involved with an act featuring music, dance, drama, poetry, comedy, magic, circus skills, the list is endless. But whatever you choose, visit our website www.surreyshowcase.co.uk to find out more information about the event and to sign up for your chance to join us and perform this summer. Surrey Showcase with Brooklyn's Radio and the Nomad Theatre Group coming this August 18th, 2018. Brooklyn's Radio.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello there and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Tanya Grant from Guildford Speakers. Hello there, Tanya. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, hello, Jackie. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, before we get on to Toastmasters and Guildford Speakers, it'd be very interesting to know your background. What career did you follow?
I didn't really have a career. I had jobs. I worked in hotels, in reception for many years. And then I had some temporary jobs, quite interesting ones, working for a helicopter firm and all sorts of different ones. And then I moved into golf clubs, where I worked for 15 years.
What were you doing at the golf clubs?
Oh, administrator, assistant secretary, if you like. I did most of the same work that the secretary did.
But does that mean you play golf?
Very badly.
Oh, okay. Well, moving on then. So how did you get involved with Guildford Speakers, well, Toastmasters?
I went... I went to a thing to gain confidence, and they recommended joining Guildford Speakers Club. So I went along with three or four others, and we all joined.
Why did you join? What appealed to you about it?
Well, the people were lovely, and it was just a confidence thing, really, and they were very helpful and nice people.
What did you feel you needed confidence with?
Well, I'd just taken up network marketing, so I was selling, and you have to do presentations, so I thought that would be really useful.
Oh, I see. So can you tell, for anyone who doesn't know, what is Toastmasters?
Toastmasters is nothing to do with dressing up in red coats. It's a self-help group for people who would like to improve their communication skills and their confidence.
But does it also involve public speaking? Is there a lot of focus on that?
For some people, we have members, some of them have jobs on cruise ships, doing presentations on cruise ships. One of our past members who moved out of the area, he is a radio commentator on Five Live. Well, all sorts. Most people join for business reasons, because they have to do presentations at work.
Right. And what do you think? Why do you think so many of them lack confidence and are unable to do this?
I don't know. I think it's a natural thing. They say after divorce and death, then getting up and speaking in front of people is the most frightening thing you can do. And a lot of people agree with that statement. People have been terrified, won't even... We have a warm-up at the beginning of each meeting, and people will speak for about 10 or 15 seconds. When I joined, I didn't do that for the first three meetings. And there are a lot of people... quite as nervous as me, perhaps, but close, and it gives them a lot of confidence.
And what are the major pitfalls that people make when they do presentations?
They talk too fast. They and a lot, because in normal conversation, we're frightened to leave a gap because people will interrupt. But if you're doing a presentation, you don't have to worry about that, because nobody's really going to interrupt you. Certainly not at Toastmasters, because it's a very safe environment. We're all terribly positive and helpful and nurturing. So no ums and ahs, and speak slowly. And if you're making a speech, have a really good opening and a really good finish, and then just try and structure it. There's all sorts of things, body language and vocal variety.
So you say you went to the meeting, and the first three meetings, you couldn't say that the 10 to 15 minutes,
seconds.
Warm-up.
Yeah.
So what changed for you to be able to
do
that?
Well, one of the lovely members said to me, Tanya, well, just stand up and say your name and sit down again. So I went, oh, okay, I'll do that. And then I started joining in, and it was a very small club then. There was only about 20 members. It's a very big club now. There's about 50. Which is probably
maximum,
too
probably,
big.
Yes.
Yes, you don't really want it, which is one of the reasons we started Godalming Speakers Club. When I first joined Guildford, there was Guildford, Epsom and Mole Valley, and then further away. Now there's Guildford, Camberley, Woking, Farnham. My friends just started one in Sutton.
Surrey then. Yes.
I believe one's just started in Reigate. Yes.
Marvellous.
Lots of them.
So what techniques did the people at the club teach you to get more confidence when you get up and speak?
Well, they've just changed the system slightly, but we used to work through manuals. So you would do prepared speeches. You would prepare a speech on any subject you like. The first one was, we call the icebreaker, and you're literally talking just about yourself, any aspect you like. You can talk about your family or your work, your upbringing, anything you like. It's just to introduce yourself to the other members of the club. Then the next club speech you do is structure your speech, and then there's a vocal variety one and all sorts of different things. And then the 10th speak is speak to inspire. So you gradually improve and it becomes a little bit more difficult as you go along. And then each speech is evaluated by another member of the club who is always very positive and encouraging, but will also make suggestions that you might like to take on board for improvement, like stop saying I'm an and slow down, or
don't speak too fast.
Whatever, yes, yes. All sorts, anything.
Yes.
Stop scratching your head.
So how often do you actually meet?
Most clubs meet twice a month. So Guildford meets on the 1st, 3rd and 5th, if there is one, Tuesday of the month. And so we started the Godalming Club on the alternate Tuesday, so as is the 2nd and the 4th
right.
Tuesday.
Okay.
And the other clubs might meet on a Monday or a Wednesday or a
Sure,
Thursday.
And what is the format? Is it lunchtime or is it an evening?
Lunchtime clubs are normally corporate clubs, which are only an hour. But all the clubs I've mentioned are community clubs, and they're about 2 hours or just over 2 hours, starting at 7:30,
mm-hmm.
7:30 to 9:30. And then after the club, several of us will go down the pub and put the world to rights afterwards.
Of course, very important. Yeah. So during these 2 hours then, what is the format? How does it work?
Well, as I say, there's introductions at the beginning, mm-hmm. then there's a warm-up, then we have the prepared speeches.
So this is something
usually
that people have prepared beforehand and brought
yes,
along. Oh, I see.
Brought along. Yes. Yes. And it can be, as I say, on any subject. People sometimes say, oh, mustn't talk about this, mustn't talk about religion or politics. But in fact, you can talk about anything as long as it's not going to offend.
Right.
That's about the only criteria. So we get all sorts of interesting things. People can talk about their own hobbies,
sure.
whatever that may be.
But you've got 50 members, so do they all get a chance to speak?
There's usually three or four per meeting.
Oh, so I see. But then obviously if you went to Godalming, where there's very few people, you'd probably get more of a chance.
Lots more.
If you were a nervous beginner, it'd probably be better off to go to a smaller club and start off there, maybe.
Yes, we do look after our guests at all the clubs. They're very well looked after, or we try to look after them really well. And as I say, each speech is evaluated.
And so can a new potential member, can they go along and have a look to see whether it's for
Absolutely.
Them?
Absolutely, and they can come along as many times as they like as a guest.
Right.
There's no charge.
Oh, so they can come as many times as they want. They
yes.
don't have to go for like two times.
No.
And how much does it cost to join?
It varies. It's around about £60 for 6 months, plus a joining fee of £20. It varies club to club, but that's most of the clubs are around about that amount.
And what would you say are the key benefits for business people to join these clubs?
Oh, amazing. People say it's transformed their lives and their business lives. We had one guy who worked for the TA.
And TA? What's that?
Territorial Army.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And he had to do a presentation. And I actually was too long, so we didn't do it in the club. But a few of us did it at one of the houses, mine. And he could practice it and use the visual aids and get a lot of advice from people in the computer industry on how to use the computer, their computer skills. So any sort of speech for work can be incorporated, but it's mainly the prepared speeches from the manuals.
Sure, but can you also give help then with things like PowerPoint and this sort of thing, or not really?
I can't because I'm a bit of a technophobe.
No, but I mean, theoretically, the clubs.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
There's people there that will help.
And do they have mentors, some of these business people?
Yeah, everybody should be assigned a mentor, which would be another member of the club.
Right, and so they would then look after this new member, and would they perhaps go along to their presentation that they have to make and make notes, or does it not work like that?
It depends. Some people don't want a mentor. They don't want... Anyway, somebody actually said to me once, I don't need a mentor, I just ask the other members. I said, well, you're still allowed to ask the other members. You can't say, no, don't want your advice. No, I've got a mentor. So, yeah, they can... each member gets a mentor. Some just want help preparing their speeches, writing the speech, practicing the speech. Some just... They're there. If you have any problems about Toastmasters... How do I find out this? There's so much information online now. Toastmasters International has a website which anybody can access. But if you're a member, then you can access a lot more to it.
Sure.
There's all sorts of help on the websites as well.
And does it deal with other sorts of speeches, like, for example, the best man speech or the father of the bride?
We get a lot of people coming, the best man speech usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is there a sort of time of year they all come for that?
No, it's just you get people who say, I've got to make a best man speech. So, and sometimes they cheat a bit because they make their best man speech and they leave. But others have become really good members of the club and very helpful.
Yes, I know. It's quite very daunting, isn't it, for people to make wedding speeches, I think.
Yes, I think it definitely is.
Yes. And so can you think of the most memorable speech then that one of your members has given recently?
Oh, crikey. Some of them are so funny. Funnily enough, down the pub last night, we were talking about a member who used to... He was very high up in business, but amazing member and so funny. His speeches were so amusing. We were all saying, oh, do you remember the speech about? And do you remember the speech about? The rugby club tour, I remember, was one of them. We have many interesting speeches, and my mind has gone totally blank. I can't think of them.
How long have you actually been a member yourself, then, of Guildford Speakers?
I've been a member for 20 years.
Have you really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. And so how has it helped you personally?
As I say, I joined for the confidence thing.
And did it work, the confidence thing?
I'm here.
Yes, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? Absolutely.
I may not be doing very well, but I'm here.
Oh, you're doing very well.
So I joined for the confidence thing, but I stayed because I just love all the people and it's so interesting. The speeches are so varied and interesting. And it is lovely helping other people to develop and see the change in people. It's difficult to remember what they were like when they first came, some of them.
Yes. And how long would you say, on average, does it take them to get to that place?
Oh, everybody varies.
Everybody's different.
Some people arrive and they are so confident already. I used to say that there's two types of people that join. Those that are really nervous and really need a lot of help. And those that just love speaking. Perhaps some of them even overconfident to begin with. But everybody learns and everybody improves and everybody benefits in different ways. Confidence, leadership. Some join to become a confident public speaker, improve communication skills, answer on-spot questions, because that's the other thing we do. Gave you one of those. We do a topic session at the end of the meeting. Mm-hmm. We have a topics master who will say, I'd like you to talk about a particular subject, Janet. So then no time to prepare, and then they come up and talk about that subject for usually 1 to 2 minutes.
It sounds very much like that Radio 4 programme, doesn't it?
Just a minute.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's not that good. We're not that good. That's terrifying. Yes, it's...
That sounds very, very difficult to do on any subject.
Well, that's right. But if you can't think about that subject, fudge it a little bit and talk about something else as a last resort. Just use up the minute. And that way you get more confident and that way you get better. And we always say, just take every opportunity to go to the front and talk, because that's how you get confident.
Yes, I guess the more you do it, the better it gets.
Yes, it's practice.
Yes, absolutely.
And chatting with one of the girls, we were saying, it's acting.
Yes.
If you act confident, if you tell people that you're confident, they'll believe you.
Indeed, absolutely. So do you have any quick tips for our listeners on public speaking? You've said don't talk too fast.
Prepare and practice. Some people are just naturals, but even they would benefit by a bit of preparation, usually. Anything else?
Take your time.
Pause, which is much better than going.
Yes, indeed. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming and telling us all about that,
finish.
Tania.
I'm.
And could we have your website address in case there are any people want to get in touch?
Well, it's www.guildfordspeakers, but just Google Guildford Speakers, Godalming Speakers.
Sure. So that's www.guildfordspeakers.com. Well, yeah. Thank you very much, Tania.
pleasure. Thank you.
So that was Tanya Grant from Guildford Speakers. And then the next part of our show, we'll be talking to Victoria Gravensteed from The Grape Outdoors.
Surrey Business Affairs, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
Do you own or work for a company? If so, you'll know that finding and keeping customers is at the heart of your success. With OmniLocal Business Networking, you'll have a unique opportunity to meet up to 30 potential customers over breakfast and connect with their customers too. So come and try a meeting near you for just £12, including breakfast and a free training seminar. Meetings are fast, informal and most of all profitable. Telephone 07900 31 26 34. Or visit our website to learn more and see what people are saying about how we've helped them grow their business. Omni, that's O-M-N-I, Local Business Networking, where local businesses connect to succeed.
Do you have a leaky roof or dripping gutter? Then contact Roofcraft of Surrey. We are a family-run business who specialise in all aspects of roofing, from replacing a roof tile to a complete new roof, soffits, fascias and guttering. All work is carried out by qualified and professional craftsmen within tight timescales and budgets. And we are proud to belong to five official trade bodies, including Trust a Trader. Visit roofcraftofsurrey.co.uk or call 01372 889698 and be amazed at what we can do. Roofcraft of Surrey, keeping a roof over your head.
At the ball top bars and midnight ladies are taking their hold on me.
If you love country music, join me, Alex Nairn, on Mondays at 8 p.m. for Brooklyn's Country. I will play music from every facet of country, traditional, modern, bluegrass, and everything in between. So tune in, you'll be glad you did. That's Brooklyn's Country this Monday at 8 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio.
He's taking a hold on me.
Love in country.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello there and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Victoria Gravensteed from The Grape Outdoors. Hello there, Victoria.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. So before we get on to your new business, The Grape Outdoors, perhaps we can just recap about your background, because you lived in Italy quite a bit, didn't you?
I did. So I have a little bit of a convoluted background. I've been a bit of a jack of all trades. I started off as a qualified dietitian, worked for the NHS for a few years, and decided I'd had enough of that and wanted to go and be a holiday rep tour guide. So I lived in a few different areas of Italy, mostly up in the north, round about Lake Garda, up in the mountains, in the Dolomites. And then my final 2 years, I was living in Tuscany, at the home of Brunello, which is a beautiful Tuscan wine, and working at a winery, at a vineyard, doing tours there and helping in the office. So all kinds of things, but very much focused around tourism and hospitality. And I decided after a couple of years in Tuscany that the position that I was in wasn't giving me enough room for growth and for development. And I insanely decided to move back to the UK. And I went back to school, went to a master's degree in events marketing. And that led me through a whole range of different jobs, from managing a cheese and wine shop to doing valet parking at Heathrow, until I decided to set up my own business. I was struggling to find the right role for me, and I love the variety that wine offers and the continually changing styles of wines, and I love the interaction with people. So The Grape Outdoors was the perfect next step.
And so where did you learn about wine?
I drank a lot.
Really. So you didn't do any courses or any...
So I have done a wine course. So most of my knowledge started, of course, in Italy. And you're surrounded by so much beautiful production and so many beautiful wines. And I was very lucky to be able to try some really wonderful wines, meet some really lovely people out there. And when I came back to the UK and started managing a cheese and wine shop, it broadened my palate a little bit more.
on all the other regions and different countries. And whilst I was there, I did a WSET course, which is the Wines and Spirits Education Trust.
Oh, yes.
Who offer very degrees, potentially diplomas, the Master of Wine degrees. Mm-hmm. You can learn a little bit more about wine from very, very basic introduction to much more qualified levels. I just went up to level two, which suited me perfectly. As you go higher in those courses, you have quite specific descriptions for wine and expectations of different regions. And for me, wine is so much about the experience of drinking it. It's much about where you are and who you're with and what it reminds me of.
So it's like the whole experience, isn't it? Yes.
Exactly. And with the wine trust, it's the higher up you go, they're starting to get very specific about the expected flavors and descriptions that you're allowed to use. And I'm not very good at that.
Right, right. So at what point did you have your light bulb moment of, oh, yes, I'm going to start my own business? And this wonderful title of your business, The Grape Outdoors. I mean, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, we were just talking. It's Prosecco inspiration. Prosecco can cause unlimited inspiration for business names, I've discovered.
Oh, I see, right.
An evening in the pub with some friends. But I had done some part-time work at the Rugby World Cup behind the bar, and I forgot how much I enjoyed that interaction. And with events, there's so much passion and enthusiasm from all the visitors and the people who are there. They're there to have a good time. They're there to have a great experience. And that interaction I missed a lot with working in a more fixed locale. And I used to enjoy that as well when I worked in tourism, when I was a tour guide. People are there to have fun. And that interaction from people and that energy that you get from people is really encouraging. And doing the bar work at Twickenham reminded me of that. And I thought, why aren't I was struggling to get work over here, having spent so much time in Italy and having a lot of transferable skills, but without the solid experience in the UK and in London, getting into events at the right level, I was either overqualified or not qualified enough. So I thought, you know what? I can do something that takes in all those aspects of the things that I love and do it myself. So yes. That kind of came in the summer of 2015. I was thinking, I need to find something for me.
Sure. And then how did you come up with this concept of a mobile wine bar?
Lots of different events, public events, community events. There's usually a bar of some kind. And generally, your selection is a wonderful selection of great ales. There's usually a cider. And if you're lucky, you get an option of a red and white on the wine. It's usually just an add-on to the bar. And a lot of people are much more interested in wine than perhaps 10 years ago, 15 years ago. People are more engaged in what they're drinking and with what they're eating as well. And mm-hmm. people are more interested in provenance. And it's not just about having a drink. It's about enjoying what you're drinking as well and perhaps getting a little bit more out of the experience. And I felt that there was a bit of a gap in the market in outdoor events for having that choice of wine, more than just red, white, and a glass of fizz, to have something that suited more palates, that gave a bit more option, but helping to find people find something that they could really enjoy and that suits different palates. So that's what inspired me to walk in that sort of direction.
Sure. So I'm assuming then that the bar is totally just wine.
For the main part, yes. Yep. So if I'm at an event and there's no other bars there, there's nobody doing beers or ciders or anything, I will also offer a selection of ales and beers because not everyone likes wine. And I can accept that. That's fine.
Sure. And then do you tailor the choice of the wines according to the event? So, for example, if it was a corporate event, I assume the choice of wines is going to be very different to, say, a local village fete.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in the more general public events, you're looking for a broader range that are going to suit a broader range of palates. The great thing about private events, you can tailor that selection according to a theme or a budget or palettes, what they're looking for. I don't import my own wine, and because I'm not tied to fixed imported wines, it gives me a lot of selection of where I can pick and choose my wines from. Mm-hmm. So it means it can be much more bespoke to each event. I did a private event last year for a film company who were launching a South African film, and they wanted South African wines. So I was able to source a great South African red and a white for that specific event. So it gives me a lot more flexibility.
And what was the first event that you did? as a fledgling business?
The very, very first event I did was, it was a local community event over in Hampton Village. It was their Christmas event. So it was November, late November, if I remember rightly. And it was torrential rain and gale force winds. And they'd had to try and move everyone into a lot of the local businesses, fixed businesses, had opened their doors to the stalls. So in every shop, there was lots of different stall holders crammed in, trying to set up a little example of their business in each shop. And I was in hairdressers along with the WI and a cake, a bakery. And it was wonderful. And I think that is one of the exciting things about events is it is so adaptive. You know, you're so dependent on weather. You're so reliant
Indeed,
on weather.
Yes.
And we're in the UK, so you never know what's going to happen from one day to the next.
True enough.
But there's a wonderful community within traders and that sort of mobile street traders that everybody's so willing to chip in and accommodate and fit everyone
sure.
in. And it was such a wonderful experience, even though the weather couldn't have been worse.
No, indeed.
So
indeed. But the
old
British spirit keeps on going. So I'm assuming then, because it's a mobile wine bar then, that you would bring your own bar and set it up.
I do.
And would you you provide glasses if
Absolutely,
people are hiring
do.
You?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can provide a full bar service if people want it. So I have, for outdoor events, I've got a gazebo that I set up, and I have a big bar within that, just like walking into a normal wine bar or a pub. So we have the bar set up there. And if it's a private event and they want the glasses, we can supply those. If they want staff, of course, we can provide staff. If we just want wine and not the rest of the bar, if they've got caterers, but they just want wine supply, we can equally do that. So we're really flexible with what we can offer. And we want to meet the needs and work with our clients to meet what they want to make their event special.
Sure. And what sort of clients are you looking for?
In addition to the private events, so weddings, private parties and christenings, things like that, I also really love the public events, so like the community events. So this weekend we've got Woking Party in the Park. We're going to be one of the suppliers there, which is going to be wonderful. And then we're doing the Weybridge 10K
well
on Sunday.
Of course, yes.
So we're going to be set up at Cowie Sale down there. So they're always a lot of fun as well. I'm hoping in the future, I'm still quite a small business, so it is me, myself and I, and with a few friends that help me out every now and again, but I'm looking in the future to expand that and get a much bigger setup for those larger festivals to be able to offer a full canopied bar that people can have sheltered
sure.
seating as well as the bar to little personal fizz bars or
rosy
bars.
Well, they sound like fun. So in the winter months then, presumably the business will just carry on, but you'll just put the
Absolutely.
Bar indoors.
Absolutely. So for all the Christmas events, we're in the gazebo, so we're quite well protected. And I've got a patio heater, which has been a godsend.
I'm sure in the winter months it must do, yes.
Yes, and of course all the wonderful mulled wines and hot spice ciders
yes,
as well.
The Christmas markets, I suppose,
exactly.
things like that, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to the wine, because you kindly brought in a couple of bottles today, which the first one is a Rosé Reserve Grey Friars. Could you like to talk us through that? Where's that from?
I really wanted to take an English wine today, because I think the English wine industry is still sadly so little recognised by British people. It's everybody automatically still goes, if they want something special, you go to France. Oh, well, English sparkling, it's not as important, is it? But English sparkling wines are beautiful and winning so many awards and beating champagne in blind tastings as well. This is a Surrey production. Greyfriars is just off the Hogsback near Puttenham. And it's very much a family operated winery.
What's the name of it?
Greyfriars.
It's actually called Greyfriars.
It's called
Greyfriars. Yes.
And it's run by Hilary and Mike Wagstaff. And Mike's brother-in-law helps out in the winery. He's the vineyard manager. And they produce these wonderful wines, a selection of sparkling and still wines. And this is one of my favorite ones. This is their Rosé Reserva. So sparkling rosé with Pinot Noir and just a little bit of Pinot Meunier, which is another classic champagne variety. And it's beautifully dry and crisp, but it's got this lovely summer berry fruitiness coming through it as well. And it's just beautiful. In this kind of weather, when it's hot and you're looking for something a little bit special, that's just such a gorgeous pink fizz.
That fits the bill, yes. Yeah. Well, it looks really great. And then also you've got the Chateau Gallia Fleury. So that's obviously from France.
So this is a French one. So I've gone back to a classic. Reason being is that a lot of people don't like white wines or they're not keen on white wines. So I thought I'd go for a great summer red. So this is a Fleury, which is one of the premier cru wines from Beaujolais. It's 100% Gamay, which is the big grape of Beaujolais. Summer reds, you're looking for something quite light, quite fresh, like a Pinot Noir, like a Spätburgunder from Germany, or something like a Gamay. And I'm a huge fan of this because it's got plenty of fruit in it. It's still very light and fresh, and it's great chilled as well. So you can chill it down and still enjoy that refreshing red in the summer months.
This is unusual for a red wine to be chilled.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're always told room temperature.
Exactly. And there's so many great wines like the Fleury, like a Pinot Noir, or those really big, rich, heavy, velvety reds can be quite nice chilled as well. And it's a great alternative to a Prosecco or a sparkling wine or a pink.
Would you say white wine is more popular than red? Because I was at a function the other week and they ran out of white wine.
I think it's very difficult. That's a really hard question to answer because I think it's very weather dependent.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah.
Though in saying that, I supplied wine to a Christmas event last year and they ran out of white. And normally you'd expect in the summer people drink more white, in the winter they drink more red. It's more warming. But I think it very much depends on the weather. It very much depends on the people. And I think in a lot of events, if you're not sure what the wine's going to be like, what sort of wine you're getting, red, sometimes you can get away more with a white wine. A cheaper white wine tends to be easier to drink than a cheap red.
Yeah. Okay. And how do you discover the new wines then?
Oh, lots of things. Tasting. It's all for work.
Of course it is.
It's all work. it's such a hardship. There are so many different industry tastings in around London. London is a hub of importation for wine, and it has been for decades, for centuries, a really key part in the world for importing wines. So we're very, very lucky to live near London, have access to all these fantastic industry tastings where you can go along and try a whole range of different wines from all kinds of different producers, and you can meet the winemakers and find out more about the story behind the wine, which I think is as important as the wine itself.
Okay, and what are your personal favourite wines?
Oh, another very, very hard question. Depends on the time and the place and the weather.
Oh, okay. Okay. And how do you see the business developing?
I'm hoping to... I would really love to grow. I mean, I do three jobs at the moment, so it's a lot of juggling. I have the jobs that pay the bills as I build up my own business. So I would love to see this the wine bar start to grow and be able to take on a partner and take more people on board to help do more events at a time. I'm setting up this year a new mini fizz bar. So a smaller setup for a more focused offering.
When you
offering.
Say mini fizz, you
mini
mean
fizz
champagne,
bar.
Prosecco, that kind
exactly.
of thing?
Exactly, yeah. And in the future, I'd love to have that much bigger setup to be able to go to the big music events and big festivals as well. That would be wonderful.
Well, I'm sure it'll all happen. Well, thank you so much for joining
You're
us then,
welcome.
Victoria. Would you like to give us your website details?
Certainly. The website is www.thegrapeoutdoors.com, and that's grape as in the fruit, not great as in Alexander.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Victoria.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. So I'd like to thank all our guests today, Ruth Lambert from Spelthorne Borough Council, Tanya Grant from Guildford Speakers, and Victoria Gravensteed from The Grape Outdoors. And thank you to my producer, Graham Laycock. And to stay in touch, or if you know any business people who should be on our programme, please email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and a little bit about them. And do follow us on Twitter, @BrooklandsRadio. Do visit the Business Affairs webpage on brooklandsradio.co.uk for details of forthcoming guests and to listen to previous editions of Surrey Business Affairs. This show will be repeated next Thursday, the 12th of July at 7 o'clock in the evening, and the next edition of Surrey Business Affairs will be on Thursday, the 2nd of August at 1 o'clock. So do listen in. So it's goodbye from me, Jackie Mitchell.
Surrey Business Affairs. If you'd like to take part, email businessaffairs@brooklandsradio.co.uk. That's Surrey Business Affairs, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.